You're on.
Amen. I wonder, in all the church services that are going on today and so many believers gathered together, how well the Father is being seen in what's being done. Thank you, Larry. We are so good at our rituals, and we're so good at learning what the Bible has to say. Yet I still think we lack so much in just a basic revelation of the Father's nature, who he is. The statement that God is good all the time, we've all heard that. I know we all believe that. But I think we're in many ways conflicted in our awareness about that statement. We still live under kind of a haze and a cloud of what I call Old Testament, Old Covenant thinking. God is good, but sometimes he's angry. Sometimes he punishes. Sometimes he's upset with me. So the statement that God is good all the time, I don't think we're fully aware of that yet or fully believe that yet. That's got to become a revelation to us. The punishment that we deserve, the judgment we deserved, was fully satisfied by Jesus Christ on the cross.
Amen.
That is the reality. But that's something that still needs to be applied to our life. And you know, we hear a lot about the fear of the Lord, and that is so important. The true fear of the Lord is a reverence to God. It's an honoring of him, a bowing down before him. But a lot of fear that believers experience about God is not the fear of the Lord. It's a fear that's based on a mistrust, not really knowing or believing that God truly loves them.
Amen.
It's a feeling that God is very unpredictable, that he may be happy one minute with me, but then when I mess up, he's unhappy and wants to punish me. That fear needs to be removed. And what God wants us to experience in our times of fellowship, there's to be a veil that's to be lifted from our thinking. Our times of fellowship are to be so energized by the Holy Spirit that the Son can reveal the Father's true nature to us. Turn with me to Judges chapter 6. This is the story of Gideon. And in verse 12, it says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, 'O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.'" Let's stop right there. I think that expresses so clearly the conflict we have as believers with God. God speaks a word describing us as valiant warriors, which is not how we see ourselves. And he says, "I am with you." And that's also something that we struggle with, because we say, if you're really with me, why do I have all these problems in my life? Why are circumstances so adverse? And that's what Gideon is expressing. He and God are not on the same page. You read the rest of this chapter. How does God correct the problem? He doesn't preach a long sermon to Gideon about, you remember how I was with Moses, and look, I did this, I did that. By his presence, he meets Gideon. It takes more than one time. You read throughout this chapter, God demonstrates his supernatural power and presence, and Gideon's mind is changed. Then in chapter 7, Gideon goes forth with the 300, and a tremendous victory is won for Israel. It's interesting that Gideon is asking God, if you're for us, why is all this bad stuff happening? And God doesn't directly answer him. But later, Gideon himself becomes the answer to that. He's the one that God moves through to deliver Israel from their enemies. But first, God changes how Gideon thinks. I think we're in the same dilemma. We want to believe that God is good all the time. And God looks at us and he describes us a certain way by his word. And we look in the mirror and we see something different. The self-image we have has been shaped by our fears. And we look at all our experiences in our life and combine that with the fears that we have, we see something completely different from what God describes by his word. Now something's got to change. Either God is going to change his mind and say, yeah, you are worthless. I guess I can't use you. I guess I'm not good all the time. Or we're going to change in our perception, our awareness, to see who God really is. And just like he touched Gideon, that divine presence brought change to Gideon. Fears began to strip away, melt away. And all of a sudden, Gideon could look and say, oh yeah, there is a valiant warrior in there. That's the Lord's doing, not my own. And Gideon could see the victory of the Lord coming forth. Now, for us, how does this happen? We encounter God's presence. Who do we really encounter? What are we talking about here? We're talking about coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to read a few verses to you, if I could. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Because I think we've made a big mistake in church. And talking about just the religion, the Christian religion as a whole. In getting away from the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, it says, talking about the Son. Verse 2, I'll read that. It says, in the last day he has spoken to us in his Son, has appointed him heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. He is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. To know Jesus Christ, the Son, that is the very nature of God. We see this again in John chapter 14. Philip said to the Lord in verse 8, show us the Father, it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? It's so easy to get pulled away from that central theme of knowing Jesus Christ as Lord. 2 Corinthians 11:3, Paul warns, be careful. Just as the serpent beguiled Eve, that you be led astray in your minds from the simplicity of devotion to Christ. In other words, there's constantly a forces working on our thinking to pull us away from our devotion to Christ. How does this journey begin? This great spiritual journey begins by you opening your heart and saying, Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Immediately, you're translated from the powers of darkness, the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his light. Immediately, you're seated with him in heavenly places. And the mistake we make is, we know that's how the journey begins, but that's the only way we can travel on this journey, is staying in that simplicity and devotion to Christ. And how easy it is for people to get off on different things. I'm just amazed in church. We talk about everyone reading from the same Bible, yet so many different gospels being presented. There's the prosperity gospel. We're here because Jesus wants to make us rich. No, we're here because Jesus Christ, he is our riches. He is our reward. We're here to know him. And to know him is to know the very nature of our Father. There's the gospel of a better me. We read the scriptures and we go to church and God can make you a better person. No, we don't need to be a better me. We need to find his life. It's not a better version of ourselves. It's an exchange life. Instead of our life, we live his life. So out there you have so many different gospels. You get into this whole thing, I was thinking about apostles, the gift ministries. We developed this elaborate teaching about apostolic ministries and how everybody's supposed to relate and how this is going to make everything come together. You know, I looked at Ephesians 4. It mentions the word apostle, prophet, just in one verse. And what's it all about? To bring us to the full stature in Christ. Amen. It all goes back to the Lord. That's where we need to keep our focus. When Jesus came to Mary and Martha's home, and Martha was so concerned about many things, you know, making the house perfect for Jesus, he wasn't concerned about all that. All he was concerned about was who was going to pay attention to him, the heart of Mary, to sit at his feet. This needs to be a posture of our life, not just something we do once in a while.
Amen.
The Lord Jesus wants us seated before him to learn of him. And in that position where there can be that impartation to receive the Spirit of Christ, to receive from him, what are we getting? The revelation of who God is. That true nature is coming through. The revelation that God is good all the time. How we can really see that in life. That be our guiding light. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. I think it's this simple. You really don't have to turn there. You probably know it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him and he with me. Can it be that simple?
Yes.
Is walking with God just about the Lord? Is it knocking at the door of our heart? And life is all about learning how to open up to his voice?
Amen.
Open up to his presence? I picture it somewhat like this. He's at the door knocking. We're off in some other place of in the house. We've got this other agenda going on. And we're praying and praying, God, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. And we don't hear the knock. We're so absorbed with what we want, we're not hearing that he wants fellowship with us.
Amen.
When we open the door, continue, learn how to open our heart to his presence, that communion with him. That's when we see the Father for who he is. If we've seen the Son, we've seen the Father. That's the only way to get a revelation of the Father. It's through the Son.
Amen.
He stands at the door and knocks. Again, like with Mary and Martha. He comes to their house and Martha's concerned about things that Jesus is not concerned about. What did he want? He was knocking at their door saying, I want to have communion with you. Oh, there's Mary. She wants to commune with me. She's chosen the better part, really the only important thing. 1 John chapter 4, talking about the love of God. It says, there's no fear in love, 1 John 4:18. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who is fears is not perfected in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Fear involves punishment. When we don't know the Father and who he really is, we're still captured by a lot of fears. So we say, okay, I want that perfect love to cast out fear. Jesus Christ is the perfect love that casts out fear. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. The perfect expression of love was the sacrifice the Son made for the Father and for us. It's knowing him as Lord that casts out the fear that brings pain and punishment. Hebrews 12, it talks about shaking going on. And you know this verse too. Once more, denotes that those things that can be shaken are going to be shaken, in order that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. This is Hebrews 12, 27. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. God's presence shakes. What is he shaking? He's not trying to shake your faith. He's shaking the fears. And when our devotion is to Jesus Christ, and we keep him central in everything that we do, his lordship is what this is all about, then we're standing on a rock, and God can shake off all those fears. The fears that block our understanding of who he is, the fears that hold us captive, God wants us free from all of that. So he shakes that we can be free of fear so that our faith stands. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, the enemy desires to what? Sift you like the wheat. In other words, Satan's goal is to shake our faith out.
That's right.
Jesus said, I've prayed for you, you're going to stand. Our faith is going to remain strong. And a lot of times when our fears are being shaken, we feel our world's being turned upside down because we're so used to those fears. We're so accustomed to them. We're secure in that prison. And when God begins to shake the prison walls down, we feel like there's something wrong. Wait a minute, something's changing. Let's be aware in our spirits. When God is doing the shaking, we're going to become less fearful, more grounded in faith, and in that position, we're going to know his nature as he is. Amen. Yes. Sure.